Would you join me once again in John chapter 10, fourth book of the New Testament, John chapter 10. And for those of you, if you're joining online, if you're streaming, I encourage you to, if you're able, depending on where you are or where you're listening, if you could join us, grab a pen, write down some verses, and keep them with you, because God's word is practical. And if we're not in a season right now where we really need a particular word, the time will come that I'm sure that we will. And these are words from Jesus that he has given to us the last few weeks of shared messages. The Lord is my strength. Speaking of writing things down, writing words down, three ways we talked about of how we receive strength from the Lord. If you didn't write that down, you've got a great memory if you remember all three. Because I spoke it, and I have to try to get my brain going in that direction. I do remember them. But and then the Lord is my light. And then today, one more, and God willing, a fourth one next week. But John chapter 10, if you'll hold your spot there. And then I'd like to read a very familiar passage or a few words from Psalms 23. Psalms 23 simply starts off this way: the Lord is my shepherd. Would you say that with me? The Lord is my shepherd. And that's the message today. The Lord is my shepherd. And he says there, I shall not want. I have no lack because the Lord is my shepherd. I do have a source for what I need, my genuine needs, either directly from him or indirectly through others from him. The Lord is my shepherd. And if you see the verse there on the screen, or if you have it in print in front of you, the word Lord, once again, is in all capital letters. That means it's the name God gave Moses when Moses asked the Lord, you're telling me to go tell your people you're going to lead them out of slavery. I don't even know your name. What am I going to tell them? What's your name? And God answered in Exodus 3:14, I believe it is. He said, tell them, I am who I am. Thus says the Lord, tell them, I am has sent me unto you. So the name I am, it's the same, the Lord is my shepherd. When it's all capital like that, it's I am. I am is my shepherd. And it's based on the Hebrew letters, and typically, traditionally, we use the name Jehovah. Honestly, we don't know how it's pronounced. Well, first of all, there's no J in the Hebrew language, so it wouldn't be. It would either be, some translations say Yahweh. It could be Yehovah. We really don't know. And the reason we don't know is because the Jewish people, for all these years, would not speak his name. They didn't want to accidentally, I guess, take it in vain. And so as a result, we lost the pronunciation. Now, God didn't say not to take his name, not to speak it. He just said not to take it in vain. So we do know that those letters, though, mean to be. God is self-existent. He is timeless, and he's unchangeable. He is self-existent, timeless, and unchangeable. And this timeless one, I am, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, with that background in John chapter 10, Jesus says this in verse 11. John 10, 11, because he says, I am the good shepherd. See, Jesus made seven of these I am statements in which he revealed himself to us to let us know that he is the I am. Jesus is Lord. So when we say the Lord is my shepherd, we're saying Jesus is the I am. Jesus equated himself with that I am in Psalms 23 and throughout the Old Testament. There's no doubt about that he claimed to be God in human form, because when he did it, some of the people of his day wanted to kill him, thinking he was blaspheming. I'll show you a few references on that. But the Lord is my shepherd. Let's give a little context. Verse 10, Jesus says this, John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I want to read you a few verses from the the book of Isaiah, if you just stay right there in John. And Isaiah 53, if you want to write them down in just a moment. But Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. The Son of God has always existed. But 2,000 years ago, the Son of God left heaven and took on our human nature without our sin. But Jesus gave his life on the cross to suffer the judgment of God for our sin. I'll say that again. The Son of God left heaven. He left the glory of being with his Father and took on our human nature without our sin, just like Adam initially as God created him. But Jesus willingly gave his life on the cross to suffer the judgment of God for our sin so that we could be forgiven. This is how it words it in Isaiah 53 verses. I'll read beginning in verse 4. We'll put it on the screen from the New Living Translation. He says, "Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were punishment from God." Maybe thinking, expressing what the people may have thought of that day. "A punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed." And then notice this, "All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb." He's the good shepherd. "But he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth." Verse 11. "When he," the Father, "sees all that is accomplished by the Son's anguish, he'll be satisfied. The divine judgment against sin was executed at the cross." That's why it says, "And because of his experience," because of Jesus' experience, "my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins." Thank God. The good shepherd became the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He took on human nature so he could relate to everything that we're going through. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like we are, yet he didn't sin. So thank God he loved us so much. He willingly laid his life down. No one forced it. He willingly laid his life down in love for us because he wanted to reach us and save us, and he wanted us to be with him and to know him. Would you look at John 10:18? John 10:18, Jesus is still speaking, and he's speaking of his life. He says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Are you familiar with the night that Jesus was betrayed and a squadron of soldiers or a command of soldiers came to arrest him? And some of the chief priests and temples, they were carrying their lanterns and so forth, or their torches. And the Bible says when they came up, Judas was with them. And Jesus said, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And in John 18, in many of the English translations, it says, "I am he," but the "he" is in italics. He literally just said, "I am." So whom are you seeking? "We're seeking Jesus of Nazareth." "I am." And just to let everyone know, the soldiers didn't take him. The Bible says they stumbled back and fell to the ground. They got themselves together. And he's, "Whom are you seeking?" "Jesus of Nazareth." "All right, I told you I am. Let them go their way." He was letting everyone know, "They're not taking me. I'm voluntarily going along." He's a good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. Again, Jesus used 7 of these I am statements. The first one, "I am the bread of life." We all know what bread is. "I am the light of the world." We know what light is, but let's be real. How many of you have a flock of sheep you tend? How many of you have even touched a lamb? Any of you? Not too many, I have. But how do we relate? I mean, modern 21st century living, how do we relate to a shepherd? Well, I believe we do relate. I hope to show you that here in these next few moments. I want to just share, I guess, 3 truths of how Jesus is our shepherd, if you want to write them down. He leads me, he feeds me, and he protects me. He leads me, he feeds me, and he protects me. And we'll go into that in a little bit more detail. But John chapter 10, verse 4. Would you look at that with me? John 10, 4. Again, Jesus is still speaking. And he says this. Jesus says that when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He goes before them. See, Jesus leads the way. He says, I'm going to show you how. You just follow me. So to follow Jesus, you say, but Rocky, I can't follow Jesus. I don't even see him. How am I supposed to follow him? It means to follow his teaching, follow his word, and follow his example. That's what it means to follow Jesus. So he led the way. He said, my sheep know my voice. They follow me. Then verse 26, Jesus is still speaking. John 10, 26. He says, but you do not believe because you're not of my sheep, as I said to you. Let me pause there a second. If we don't believe, we won't follow. Following Jesus is the evidence that we believe Jesus. So he's telling these people that day, he says, you don't believe in me, verse 26, because you're not my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So again, we follow his word, and we follow his example. And then when we do believe, God gives us his Holy Spirit to help us follow Jesus. Because even if we want to, we can't do it without his help. But the blessing is, God, what God requires of us, he provides for us and he helps us do. The Holy Spirit in us will help us to do what's right. Back to Psalms 23. I'll stay, or you can stay there in John 10. We'll put it on the screen. But notice how David words it. He was a shepherd. He knew what it was. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Notice, he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Maybe I could ask it this way to see if this is practical and relevant. Do you want unconditional love? You want somebody to love you without strings attached, without, well, if you do what I want, I'll love you. I mean, unconditional love, do you want that? Then that's practical and relevant for today, isn't it? And we have a good shepherd. Do you want abundant grace? I do. I need God's grace, abundant grace. Do you want a joy that is not based on or limited to circumstances, but something deep abiding in your heart? Do you want a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that would cause a hymn writer at the loss of his four daughters to say, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. That's a peace that a human can't explain, really. It goes beyond understanding. Do you want that? Do you want wisdom from above? Do you want divine guidance in your relationships? Divine guidance in your finances? Do you want to know what God would have you to do to have victory in your battles and temptations? All of these blessings come from following the Good Shepherd. Would you say, the Lord is my shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He feeds me, and he protects me. We hear his voice in the scripture and the leading of his spirit. So let's say, for example, maybe I do have a financial need. And so I go to God's word so that I can hear him, because he's already inspired the word. So I read, honor the Lord with your possessions. So is me, or do all of my possessions, am I using them to the glory of God? My purchase, is it going to, the Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender. Is this going to take me so far in debt that I won't even be able to have the freedom to give? Or then I need to just pray, Lord, I would like to get this. If this is your direction right now, I believe it's okay, but I'm willing to follow you. So we go to the Word, we seek the Lord in prayer. Maybe here's a situation, Lord, I need help in, you know, with our marriage. I see the scripture says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. I see the scripture says, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. But how do I live that out? I see it, I want to, but how do I live it out with my husband, with my wife? How do I train my sons and daughters in the way of the Lord? How do I bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord? And we come together in prayer. So it's we're hearing his voice in his word and the leading of his spirit. Now, we're going to hear all kinds of voices. We determine whose voice we'll listen to. And if we want to know the Lord's voice, the voice of our shepherd, we need to tune in to his word, because he'll never, the Holy Spirit will never lead us contrary to the word he inspired. It will always be in line with what he has inspired in his word. So that's how we seek his voice and we listen. So he leads me, and then chapter 10, verse 9, he feeds me. Jesus says this, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, that was another one of the I ams. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. When we enter God's family, if I say it this way, when we enter God's flock through Jesus, he is with us in our daily comings and goings. That's what that means. The verse isn't saying you go in and out of salvation or in and out of Christ. It's he's with us in our daily comings and goings, and he feeds us with the rich pastures of his word. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So God feeds us, the good shepherd feeds us with his word, but he also feeds us with his presence. When we're worshiping together, some of you have experienced it, maybe all of you, maybe some of you streaming, you have gained strength from the Lord's presence in prayer and in worship and in godly fellowship. There is something strengthening about being together when we're really fellowshipping with the Lord through worship, prayer, his word, times just alone with the Lord. That's how he feeds us. And here's when the spiritual anemia will show. When we're in the battle and when we're in the trial. When battles come, and they will. When tests and trials and tribulation come, and they will. If we haven't been feeding, it will show, because we're going to be spiritually weak. So if we want our strength in the Lord, we need to feed on his presence. We need to feed on his word. I want to ask you, just please think about this. In your priorities, where do you place seeking God? In your priorities, where do you place seeking God? There's nothing wrong with sports, but where does that relate to seeking God? Nothing wrong with good entertainment, wholesome entertainment. Nothing wrong with, you know, social media and likes and Facebook and, I mean, throw anything out. It doesn't matter. Going to the gym, it doesn't really matter. They can all have their place, but what priority do we give them in comparison? Are they first, or is God really my priority? We show how much we want God's guidance, and we show how much we want God's strength by the attention we give him. Jimmy Evans wrote something years ago. Wrote it down. He said, God is not obligated to chase us down to speak to us. We are obligated to slow down and listen for his voice. We're obligated to slow down and listen for his voice. David said, he leads me beside the still waters and he restores my soul. Do you know we can rob ourselves of the renewing we need in our souls because we're just too busy and won't take time to meet with him beside the still waters? So he leads me, and he feeds me, but I've got to be willing to follow. I've got to be willing to feed on him. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Would you say that with me? The Lord is my shepherd. Would you say he leads me, he feeds me, and he protects me? John chapter 10, verse 12. John 10, 12, Jesus says this, but a hireling, someone who is in it for the money, who is not the shepherd, please notice this, one who does not own the sheep. The Lord owns us if we know him, if we're in the flock. He says a hireling doesn't own the sheep, and when he sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling, and notice, he does not care for the sheep. See, Jesus not only owns us when we're his, he cares for us. He cares for the sheep. And then if you look down to verse 28, Jesus still speaking, all the words of Jesus. Jesus says about his sheep, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You know, one thing about sheep is that they are easily frightened. Sheep are easily frightened. But we do not have to be overcome by fear. We do not have to be controlled by fear. We've all felt it, let's be honest. We've all faced it. We've faced anxiety, worry, every emotion. But we do not have to be controlled by fear, because Jesus, our good shepherd, defeated and disarmed the devil at the cross. And greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Thank God for our good shepherd. He fights for us, and he defeated the devil. Now, the devil still has a mouth, and he still roars with his accusations, and he still roars with his lies, but that's why God has given us a whole armor, and we stand in the armor of God against his wiles and against his schemes and strategies to make us fall. Thank God he does protect us. People may persecute us, but no one can snatch us from our good shepherd. Let me read this again, verse 28. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. When he said that, some of the Jewish people wanted to kill him because, again, he's claiming to be God. Watch this. If you're streaming or if you see this, I know if you're just listening, you won't be able to see my hands. But how safe is this? Jesus said, if I know you, you're mine, you follow me, I've got you in my hand. No man can take you out. And my Father, who gave you to me, is greater than all, and no one can take you from my Father's hand. You think that's safe? Pretty safe. People can persecute. They could take our life physically, but they can't get through the Father's hand. They can't take us from our good shepherd. There's a spiritual, the safest place to be spiritually is close to our good shepherd. It's in fellowship with the good shepherd and with godly sheep. Y'all know what I mean, right? With God's people. See, close fellowship with God and with his people, I believe, can also be a safe place to be relationally. It can be a safe place to be emotionally. I would say there are testimonies to that fact, to that truth. Being in close fellowship with the good shepherd and with godly people can be a safe place to be financially, and even in our health. Do you know that some people have just wandered away from God? I'm not saying this is all, always happens, but it's possible to wander so far away out of fellowship with God, we basically come out from under his protection, and we can open up ourselves to being hurt. Now, again, we all have our test, battles, attacks, but let's make sure we keep ourselves in the right place. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's not be a wayward sheep. Let's follow him and follow him closely. Let me close with these last few words from the 23rd Psalm. Psalms 23, we'll pick up at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Aren't you glad you never, if you know God, if you know the Lord, if he's your shepherd and you're following him, aren't you glad you'll never have to face anything in this life alone? Thank God. Thank God we don't. In fact, I've shared this before. I can tell you some years ago when I was really battling some anxiety, having some health issues, some dizziness, the doctors they sent me to a specialist, couldn't really determine what it was. I had MRIs done on the brain. And I can remember waking up on more than one occasion, maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And when I would awaken, my heart was racing. It was just racing. But I remember at one point taking a little Gideon Bible and going to Psalms 23. And I would just read these words until my soul and my emotions calmed down. And I felt like my anxiety eased. I felt like my blood pressure just go down. The Lord did that because he's a good shepherd. You are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. A rod was more like a club. It might have had little bits of maybe metal or lead or something in it. And if a wolf got close enough, the good shepherd would come down on him. The staff would be more like what we call a shepherd's hook today. It could go before and open the way, like looking for a snake in the grass, or maybe the sheep fell over in a ditch and grabbed that sheep and pull them up to safety. They comfort me. He says in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus is the good shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Are you following him? I close with these two questions I would like to ask you. Please, what do you think about this? Maybe you've been away from the shepherd. You can come back. You can come back right now. And maybe you're walking with him. Maybe you've just gotten busy. I don't know your situation, but whatever it is, will you think about this? How will you follow him? If you say, I want to follow Jesus, how will you follow him this week? Not just, you know, one day. How will you follow him starting today, this week? How will you follow your good shepherd? And then finally, what will you feed your faith? What will you feed your faith this week? Is there a specific word, maybe a scripture? So what is your need? Again, we're going to hear all kinds of voices. We're going to have all kinds of input. Not everything is going to build our faith. Some of it's going to try to tear it down. So what will you feed your faith? And how will you follow the shepherd? Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Father, we thank you this morning for your faithfulness. Thank you that you are a good shepherd. And thank you that you became the Lamb of God. I thank you, Lord, that you do go before us. You do fight our battles. We thank you, Lord, that you are good. I thank you, Lord, that you willingly laid your life down for me. I'm thankful, Lord, that you saved me. I want to follow you, Lord. I've been a wayward sheep before, but you didn't give up on me. You drew me back, and I'm thankful. And I pray for each of us, wherever we are, right now in our walk with you, that you're going to draw us to yourself. Please draw us to your mercy. Draw us to your side. I pray we'll never be satisfied with anything of this world. But we would say, I've got to have Jesus, and I've got to be close to you, Lord. Maybe some weakness from just being maybe a little bit astray, maybe distracted and busy. Would you draw us back to yourself today and just show us how to live it out? Help us to follow you. Open your word. Help us to feed on your presence. And Lord, help us to stand in the victory that you've provided for us.